All right. Still dealing with difficult passages. Last week, if you weren't here, we dealt with gambling a little bit. And let's just go over quickly, and then maybe you might have a few leftover questions. The bottom line with gambling, the thing that I want to get across most than anything else, is to recognize the sinful nature of it. Like, that shouldn't be a debate. It is, gambling is sinful. And there are questions like came up last week, obviously, that might be some gray areas that we wonder about. But always better to take the safe course, of course, in all aspects of trying to be right with God. But generally, as Christians, there shouldn't be a debate about gambling itself. We should all agree it is sinful. And so just quickly, we talked about what it is, looked at some things, betting, bingo, casino, so on, lotteries, gaming machines, slot machines, and all of those kind of things represent gambling. And again, there's other things, you know, we talked about raffling and things like that. And I don't have the answers to all the things that might be suspect. I did come across something. A lot of things, I think Jake was bringing up, a lot of things does have to do with your heart. Some things doesn't have anything to do with your heart. Just wrong, just gambling. But the condition of your heart, the attitude, and whether you're seeking riches and that sort of thing does play a part. Like, you know, I don't know if I hear, I can't remember exactly the conversation last week, but if I hear someone, you know, I engaged in a raffle ticket at school, something, you know, if I hear that, I'm not all of a sudden going to fall all apart. Say, I'm going to report you to the elders for that. You know, it just depends. I came across I can't remember exactly what it's called. Some of you may have heard. It's like a raffle you can buy with the Browns. 50-50, it's called. And so the way that works is 50% of the proceeds go to children and buying clothes and things for their children. So that, you know, right away, that pulls on your heartstrings. But when you look at the site, the very first thing that it says on there is you can make a lot of money. So now people getting involved in that, they're not doing it so much, I'm going to get a ticket so I can... So some little boy or little girl might have some shoes. They want the money. And so whatever the situation might be, there are some things, and you notice on this list, you know, raffling not up there. So, but you use your judgment on it. I think it was Autumn, I don't see her here tonight, but she had a good idea. Sometimes you can take an alternative route. Instead of buying a raffle ticket for a school, make a donation. You know, anything, one thing we do want to do is abstain from evil. And if something's coming across as evil at all, we don't want to be associated with that. But, you know, some of that, you use your judgment. Now, none of you should be going down to the grocery store and buying a lottery ticket. Just don't do it. Why do you want to risk your soul on some things that just we don't really have to debate about it? And so, you know, we won't go through all these different definitions again, but the four essential components to gambling, and this again, where you can use your judgment if something falls in this category: uncertain outcome that is arbitrarily determined, a stake or wager that is deliberately achieved by chance, and then the last two, particularly the win. There's a winner and a loser. One gains at the loss of others. And then the attitude part of it, the elevated desire for material gain. But why is it sinful? Why do I tell you tonight that gambling is sinful? And basically it's for these reasons. Gambling is addictive, and there's no real argument against that. Like, people do argue against it. And, you know, you always have, I don't care what it is. Like, how many times have you heard someone talk about, well, you know, smoking's not addictive. Really? Yeah, I quit whenever I want to. They just don't ever seem to want to. So, you know, some arguments, people will make them, But the fact of the matter is there's enough evidence and research and data that has been taking place that gambling is addictive. You know, why they have gambling anonymous. They have that for a reason, because people are addicted and their lives are being ruined because of it. And I don't have the passage up there now, but you don't want to be addicted to anything except for God. We have one master. You can serve one master. If you're addicted to something, whatever you're addicted to, that becomes your master. That has taken the place of God. That has become your God. And so you certainly want to stay away from that. It shows a lack of love. Remember, you win at the loss of someone else. And in a lot of these forms of gambling that we get really serious about, it's people, again, they're addicted, and so their, you know, families are being ruined. Marriages are being wrecked. And so that's if you can go into that and say, well, yeah, you know, this fella's sitting across from me or whatever, their lives might be ruined, but I want to win. So that's their problem. Now, that's not love. And we understand that when you gamble, there's going to be a loser. And you get to the point where you just don't want it to be you. You don't really care about the other one. I don't know how that got out of order. But covetousness is certainly a part of it, because with gambling, that if you ever get into a place where you're really trying to get rich quick, you have to examine your heart. There's a love of money there, and that's the root of every kind of evil. So, you know, money's not sinful, but a love for money is. And gambling demonstrates a love for money. And so there's covetousness there. And covetousness, of course, Paul said is idolatry, because that takes the place of God in your life. We talked about it being bad stewardship, and that's important to God. And the first thing required in a steward is faithfulness. We want to be faithful with the material things that God blesses us with. We talked about that Sunday in the sermon. All good gifts come from God. And so, you know, we want to use the resources that he gives us in a way that's going to bring him glory. And then gambling violates the legitimate means of receiving material things. And last week we closed with talking about that. When you look at money in the Bible, and money is a biblical topic. We have several passages that talk about money and the exchange of money and how you are to make money. And you know, that would be very general, of course, in nature. But basically, in these three ways, the Bible talks of how do we receive money. And well, labor is one. Work with your hands, the things that are honest. And then regular business exchanges is certainly the Bible taught. You think about Lydia and, you know, many, many others that engaged in business. That's legitimate, as long as it's a legitimate business. And then, of course, gifts. Sometimes you may receive something by way of gift. That's wonderful. And there's nothing wrong with that. We see that in the Bible, Acts 2, Acts 4, when the people were selling their homes and things to give to the needy. Those were gifts they were given to the needy so that they can meet their benevolent needs. And then, of course, gambling leads to crime. And that's why red flags should go up whenever we think of different places where they start legalizing things and start to open up gambling facilities and things and boats and whatever where you can go and gamble. Well, this is a wonderful thing, and there's going to be a lot of money for a lot of people. And what else is going to come with that is crime, because that's gambling has always led to that. And so, when you look at those things, then you can realize gambling isn't something that God wants you to participate in. And if it's something that is shaky, something that you doubt or you're not sure about, then go back to those four things that constitute gambling, and you'll have to make a determination. You know, be honest with yourself. Don't try to talk yourself into things, because I can see, you know, people, I'm not saying I can see you right now, but I see the wheels turning right now. How can I justify the lottery? You know, I really want to do that. And so don't try to talk yourself into it. gambling is sinful. We need to stay away from it. And lives, you know, I didn't get into this at all, but it's amazing how many lives are ruined when they win the lottery. Almost always, isn't it? I mean, like, I'm sure there are success stories with that. We only hear probably of the ones that turn out badly, but we do hear that all the time. Like, people win so many millions of dollars, and the next thing you know, I have a sermon that I preach on some of these things, and I can't remember top of my head all the stories, but where I give a list of people who have won the lottery, like multi-millions of dollars, and it's just amazing to read of a few years later what a mess their life is in, even to the point of, you know, murder and people wanting to kill them, family members mostly, and things just, you know, divorce taking place, and most of the time they end up back in poverty. And, you know, you can Google that, look that up, and see that. But it's just amazing how, you know, I know you think, well, boy, give me a chance at winning $10 million. I think I'd be all right. That's what they thought. And their life just falls apart. And so better not to gamble at all. All right. Any questions about that or anything you want to share with the class? Go ahead. Yes. Well, that came up last week. Okay. Right. Yeah. Oh, you weren't here last week, were you? Yeah. I can't remember when you guys arrived. But again, if it, you know, I'm not really familiar with. I don't see Matt here. I think Matt not here today. Right. Yeah, I think so. Well, it's. Could you, if you say that's okay, I can see someone making the argument, well, then poker's okay, because there's some skill involved in that too. And so I would just stay away. Second of all, is drag racing okay? Okay. You've been drag racing, Jesse? I mean, okay. All right. Right. You know, and a lot of it, use your judgment. A lot of it is the example. You know, how, if we're sitting here, now we're Christians, how do people view that? You know, I don't even know the answer to that question, to tell you the truth. Like, not so much drag race, but other, I don't know what Matt brought up, but it seemed like football was involved or something. But, you know, how does the view, if the world around you is viewing that as gambling and you get involved in it, then, you know, they're going to think of you as, you know, this is something, he's supposed to be a Christian and he's involved in that way. Well, he must not be too serious about it. So, you know, it just depends on that. But if there's a winner and a loser, you know, all of those things, again, are you in it? Is it a greed thing? What is it? You know, you think about those things. You're not, okay, because you don't make very much. Yeah.
I think it's more of a, in order to participate, you need to enter, to hold yourself a spot to be able to win. Not so much, oh, I'm going to win $5,000 if I win it. Even if I want to compete, I need to pay so much money because the sponsor is sponsoring me, and to almost like to reserve a spot.
Right.
Almost like if I had a craft show, even though I'm not compete, you have to reserve it.
Right.
So,
put it down. Yeah. Like, it's not the same thing as doing the horses or whatever the language is for that. Yeah. All right. So, you know, you just have to use your judgment and know what you're getting yourself into. I don't know much about that because I haven't been dragging here recently. I'm just joking. But even the sporting things, I don't get much into, you know, with money. But paying money to get money with regard to sporting events and stuff, you know, you gotta think about that. But you gotta use your judgment. Yeah, go ahead then.
Okay.
Right. Right. Sure. Yeah. Right. Exactly right. And that's why I say use your judgment. Right. Right. And think about this. Again, and that's why I don't want, I mean, these discussions are fine, but let's not get bogged down with if the kind of things we're really talking about are things that become addictive, things where you really, when you win, it is really at the expense, and not just that someone else loses a few dollars or even $100, whatever, but there's someone else whose lives are being seriously affected because of your winnings, they're losing, and so generally when we think about gambling, that's really what we're thinking about. And again, remember we said last week, it's not so much with so far as the amount that you're gambling. That's not what it's about. Like people, there are people controlled by the lottery. I mean, they have to get their ticket. And you know, then you start thinking about, you know, week after week, stewardship of your money and all of those things. But if whatever you're thinking about, the dragon, whatever, and it doesn't have much to do, you say, well, you know, I don't do that a lot. It's not bad stewardship. It's not addictive, whatever. You got to use your judgment, including how other people view it, how you're being viewed by other people. Engaged in it. So, you know, all of those things. But what Matt said is right. There's judgment involved. Use your judgment. Me, I probably stay away from all of it. But I'm not, you know, you have to use your judgment. End of the day, you're answering to God. So, several hands, and I didn't expect this because really I was just going to move on. Go ahead, Jeannie. Right. Some people say now that was a form of gambling. The Bible doesn't say anything about gambling except casting lots. Now, most of the time, in at least the passages that are major and that we know of, like when they casted lots for the apostles, God was without question involved in that. Like he was determining the outcome of that. And almost every passage I've ever seen in the Bible that talks about casting lots, it also indicates the Lord was in control of that. And so those who did it knew that. Like the apostles, when they were trying to get a replacement, they weren't playing a game thinking, now whoever wins this is good. They knew that was in God's hands. So, you know, that I wouldn't consider that what they did in the Bible as casting lots, being gambling. The Lord was involved. Now, I'm not saying people couldn't in biblical times do that outside of the passages we know of. I mean, were there people not associated with God at all casting lots in the form of gambling? Oh, I wouldn't doubt that at all. But that wasn't the case in the passages that I know of that talk about casting lots. God, you read the text, and God almost always, it indicates God was making the choice in that. So, I'm sorry. Dale, did someone have a hand?
People who are trying to justify gambling, they say, well, if you get in your car and you start down the road, that's a gamble because somebody might run over you.
Right.
But that, the Lord traveled.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
The apostles traveled. You can't argue that.
No.
That's just a way of life.
Right, right, right. And that's why we had what I put up last week about gambling is not a risk. It's not, it's a part of the definition. Gambling is a risk, but every time you take a risk, that isn't gambling. So, you know, and most people know that. Like, and I expect all of you all to know that. And so when someone makes that kind of an argument, it's like a smoke screen. They want to make an excuse for whatever gambling they're doing. Right, right. So, yeah. Yes. Right. Yes.
You know, like a lot of times we do it in a roundabout way. You might cast lots of time to determine something.
Right. Yeah.
And the other thing is, over all the years I've been a Christian, I've had several people, several times this has come up in conversation, and I've always tried to explain why no, but here it is. What if you are an employee somewhere and your boss and you win.
Yeah, right.
Can you keep that money?
Oh boy, don't draw me into that.
I have said, well, as a Christian, I would hope that the boss would know not to give it to you.
Right. Yeah.
And then, you know, they always have something to say. And then my next answer always is, well, probably then I would just throw it away.
Right. Just don't take it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because many of the times I've had this conversation, they've been with, you know, non-Christians, you know, and they find out you don't gamble, and they just always try to find a way.
Right.
You know, dig at you or whatever. But I've had conversations over the years with other Christians, and, you know, it's like, some say, yeah, I keep it, and others say, no.
Yeah. So yeah. I wouldn't even take it. Don't, you know, so, I mean, you got, again, that falls under, like your boss, your reputation and how other people view about it. And if that is the situation that they're trying to get you to gamble a little bit, or not even so much that they just know, you know, you're a Christian and you're against lottery, so I'm gonna give you to see if you take it. Well, you don't want them to get the wrong impression. Just tell them thanks, but no thanks. Okay. Right. And what if you win, you know, like, I think I'm right about this. I've never played the lottery in my life, but you can win all the money, but you can also get little amounts too, can't you? And your boss gives you a lottery ticket, you take it and you win $25. That could be a door open for the devil. You know, you just got 25. That was easy. Maybe next time I'll get 50. And you know, is there, I don't mean this as a true addiction, but is there an addiction factor to people who play the lottery? I mean, you're not going to have withdrawals and stuff. You know, with real gambling, when you really get addicted to gambling, and I think I had a quote up there last week where that there are even withdrawals and things. Some of the same symptoms that a drug addict has trying to get off of drugs, those who are addicted to gambling do. Now, I'm not saying you play the lottery, you're gonna get to that point. But I think an argument can be made that there's an addictive nature to it. So.
That happened to me at work. We had a secret Santa, and I got a couple of tickets. And I walked over to the shredder, and I had to shred them. And the other two girls were like, what are you doing? And I said, well, I don't know who my secret Santa is yet. So if they don't know, I said, I'm shredding them. They're like, well, give it to me. I said, they're not going to engage in what in you gambling. I said, no. And they looked at it.
When you shredded it. Right. Well, listen, and it's not about, you just have to guard your reputation in this kind of situation. It's not about trying to be legalistic or judgmental or anything. It's just, you have a reputation as a Christian. And most people understand the evils of gambling. So if we as Christians start to participate in that, you know, people are watching. I always say people are watching, in the world are watching us all the time. So, yeah, I wouldn't even take the ticket, or if you do happen to shred it or whatever. And so don't play. You might get hooked. Did I see any hands? Oh, no, that's all right.
$300 million Powerball.
Oh, they do. Wow. Yeah. That says something about yeah. It's the excitement of that and whatever. So that's interesting. Go. Let me get Aaron in there. It did. I can't answer that. You can ask one of the elders here. I suppose, where's Joe when I need him? Where's Dale? But I doubt it. If it's what are the terms that I'm looking in any kind of gain that is evil, I don't think
ill.
Right. 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 And obviously I can't speak for every eldership, but I don't think our eldership would want anything to do with that money. So I guess it would be all yours. Go ahead, Matt. Just joking. Go ahead. Right. Yeah. 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 The most churches wouldn't take that. So, but yeah, go ahead, Fred. No, yeah, right. Well, yeah. You got some stats there or something. I mean, that's right. But I have stats on. I mean, it's clear. I mean, you know, the chances are, you know, the first time I say it, then I'll be proven wrong. But I'm pretty confident if I say none of you are going to win the lottery. I think I'll probably go to my grave and that will stand true. I can't be absolutely sure. But the chances of winning the lottery are so astronomical, it's amazing. And yet people will spend money week after week after week after week after week. And that's just not good stewardship. And it does show a love of money. So, yeah, that's just... Right. I've heard that. So, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's just not worth it. All right. Anything else we can? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Paul. You had your hand up for a while.
When Jesus goes into the temple and he throws out the money changers.
Yes.
What do they do back in those days? What do they
do
by money changers?
Yeah. No, they were just turning it into a bit because of, they were offering, you know, all the animal sacrifices and things. They were people all over, of course, and not all. They had to exchange the money in order to put it in the treasury. It had to be the acceptable money, but foreigners, whatever, would come and do that too. So they had to exchange money, get into the right currency. But the whole point, that wasn't gambling there, but it was turning the temple into a business, and that was never the purpose of the temple. So, yeah. So, and they were being dishonest. That's why I call them a den of thieves. They were, you know, like cheating people in the exchange and purposely. So, yeah, but go ahead.
Another thing is it doesn't have to do anything with gambling, but you have to look at, you know, the end note. You know, they say it says it's harder for a rich man to enter heaven than a camel pass through the eye of a needle, you know. I know it's not sinful to obtain wealth, but when you look at, you know, making it more difficult for yourself to make it to heaven.
Right. Well, and no, it's not sinful. This, the way we usually put it is, it's not sinful to be rich. There were a lot of rich people in the Bible. Abraham was rich, so on and so on. But to pursue riches is sinful. Again, that's the love of money. You know, Paul put it, if any man desires to be rich, he falls into temptation and a snare. And it's that desire to be rich. And anybody getting involved in a get-rich-quick plan or anything like that, that's a desire to be rich. Like if you just work hard and God blesses you, and even if you're involved in some kind of business transaction and you make a right investment or a right decision, whatever... And that is, again, the passage was brought up last week of the talents. And Jesus praised the man who had five talents, and he did the right thing with it and got five talents more. It's a business situation, and he prospered over that. And he'll praise God for that. That's one thing. But to get into anything with the purpose, I want to be rich, your heart is in the wrong place. And we're forgetting, we're just pilgrims in this life passing through. It's not about the accumulation of silver and gold. And I had a real good study coming up after this. And you guys sure can ramble. Yeah, go ahead. Right. Yeah. Materialism is that's hard for us as human beings because we're all physical. We live in a physical world, and you know, most of us think we can handle a lot of money, but most of us can't. And so if from the standpoint, like we may not fall apart like some of these lottery winners, but can you continue to put God first in your life? And you know, that's, you know, a lot of us think we can, and I hope I could, but more times than not. That's why he talks about the rich passing through the eye of the, you know, the camel. That it's difficult to be rich and serve God at the same time. And we have biblical examples of people doing it. But I'm just saying, more times than not, people start to put other things before God. And so, all right, anything else? I see another hand. Y'all are going to be mad. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, right. We're not going to get to right.
They drew lots for them, so it's more like a vote.
Yeah.
How I'm reading
that? Yes.
And like other times they cast lots for Jesus' garments.
Right.
I kind of think of that as like an auction situation where if you say, I'll give you this much, and somebody votes higher, you're not giving any money or wasting any money if you don't win that.
Right.
That
yeah.
But
yeah.
Auction.
Right. Yeah. I think that's right. Right. Now, you can gamble anything. You could turn anything. Like I said, you know, people, the stock market isn't gambling, but you can gamble with it. And I'm not sure, I didn't do the research, so I don't know every passage in the Bible that talks about casting lots and if it was ever a form of gambling. You know, I don't think in the Bible you read about that, but I'm not 100% sure. But I wouldn't, you know, human nature, were there people in the days of casting lots that turned that into a gambling situation? Probably. You know, but that's not what the scriptures are dealing with. Yeah.
I'd say Judges 14 would be a good study for anybody that's interested in studying more about gambling. Because Samson, you know, it cost him
yeah.
a wife.
Right.
Because of his gambling.
Yeah.
Now, I know God was using him, but he's a good example of misuse of gifts.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. All right. We've run the course with that, haven't we? You guys are mad now, huh? We were going to get into this. What about God deceiving people? Remember with Ahab here? Someone asked the question. I can't understand why God would send a lying spirit to deceive anyone into sin. What if God treated everyone the way he treated Ahab? Can you explain this to me? And there are more. We'll deal with that next week, perhaps, and deal with that particular case. But there are other cases like that, two or three in the Bible, maybe three or four, that where it seems as if God deceived people purposely, gave Saul an evil spirit. And those are passages that think, does God deceive people? Has he ever deceived people? And some people have used, Bible critics have used this very passage to say the Bible contradicts itself. God can never lie. And then, but he sent a spirit purposely to lie to Ahab. And so, yeah, Don.
Well, you know, the Pope's already got that figured out. They're going to change the Lord's Prayer. Because the Pope says that we, it was interpreted wrong.
Really?
Uh-huh,
uh-huh.
So
what's he going to change it to? I hadn't heard that. Anybody? Yeah, that's interesting. Very interesting. Uh-huh. Right, right. Well, I guess when you're the head of the church on earth, you can do that if you want to. But changing the Bible, I think we better have a better interpretation of that. But anyway, we'll talk about that. And 1 Kings 22 particularly, we'll just go through the text and look at that. And then there's a couple of other things if we still have time that we'll look at. And as long as, if I don't get anything else, then we'll move on to something else other than this. Every time I say that, someone asks me another question. So, but we'll pick up with that next week.